Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and we'll be continuing our journey through the Word in 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1 reads, "Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy.' Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. 'By all means, go,' the king of Aram replied. 'I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, 'With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy.'" A bit of background here. Aram in the passage was actually Syria. Aram was a big influence on Israel back then, and in fact the Israelites in Jesus' day still spoke the language Aramean. The New Testament was written in Greek for the Gentile world, and when we get direct quotes from Jesus like Tabitha Kumi, it's in Aramaic. Or words like "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which Jesus cried out from the cross, he's quoting from the Aramaic translation, because that was most likely the spoken language of the apostles. It was the written language that was Greek. The Syrian Empire rose before the Assyrian Empire. Now, that's why it's important to you, is that the Assyrians would eventually carry the northern kingdoms away, and with it nearly 10 of the tribes of Israel. The Syrians would eventually be absorbed into the Assyrian Empire. So this is the precursor to that very important empire that would have devastating consequences on Israel. So why would this Jewish slave girl have mercy on one of her foreign pagan captors? Well, like we learned in the last chapter, it's all about the heart of God. What would you think God's heart was towards this man? What was Jesus' heart towards Pontius Pilate? Was he vengeful and vindictive? Or was Jesus compassionate and wanting to save Pilate? Ironically, when Pilate was boasting that he could save Jesus, Jesus was in the very act of saving him. So with Naaman, he would be turned to God by the end of the story, but it would have a rocky beginning. God's heart for the nations is laced through the entire Bible, starting with his promises to Abraham that I will bless you and you will become a blessing, and through you and your offspring, I will bless the entire world. That was always the plan, even if it took a little bit of time to get there. We see glimpses of it peeking through all the Old Testament. And remember that the first prophet, chronologically speaking, to give us a book in the Bible, was sent to the Assyrians in Nineveh. That's right, the very first prophet was a missionary to another nation, albeit a reluctant one. Here we see a slave girl who has God's heart, and Naaman goes to get himself healed of his leprosy, a disease in those days that carried an inevitable death sentence. Leprosy was no laughing matter in the days before modern medicine, but it reminds me of a song I learned from somebody who was most likely a very bad influence on me. "Leprosy, all my skin is falling off of me. Oh, I'm not half the man I used to be. Oh, how did I get leprosy?" Okay, I'll keep my day job and record Through the Word instead of going into a record career. But, of course, going to the king of Israel with a letter in hand was bound to cause some problems. Have you ever had the kind of nightmare where you're dressed up in scrubs and have a scalpel in your hand? You look down and there's a human brain looking at you from the top of someone's head as they lay on the operating table? No? Just me? Well, maybe that's an RN thing. But that must have been the same feeling the king of Israel had as he was faced with being summoned to do a miracle. That was something he could not deliver. He was going to need to reach out to Elijah in a big way. And in verse 8, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him a message. "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elisha sent the messengers to say to him, "Go. Wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought he'd surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than these waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? So he went down, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. We see that Naaman had to humble himself, and that's a bit like baptism. Baptism is the confession that you're dirty and need to wash. Here was God asking this proud warrior, this man who is used to commanding scores of other people, to be stripped of everything and just simply obey. His clothes, his pomp, his ceremony, everything stripped down until he was like a baby and simply needed to be washed. We can see from the passage that there are a couple reasons why this made Naaman upset. Number one, it wasn't flashy enough for him. In verse 11, we read, But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over me, and cure me of my leprosy. You see, Naaman expected more of a ceremony. He was used to being the center of attention and praise, and now God was asking him not to be that, but to abandon it. This was the place where he would just need to be humble and obey. Number two, it wasn't convenient enough for him. Couldn't I have done this back home in a river? When people come to Jesus, they're told to submit to him as Lord, and this is what makes it hard. It's humiliating that he's traveled all this way just to be asked to get into a river. To someone who does not want to submit to Jesus, just doing that simple thing seems like it's just a bit too much to ask and a bit too far to go. Number three, it wasn't costly or expensive enough. Naaman wanted to feel like he could do something to earn it, to buy it even. There are many people that think if they could give God money, then God's obligated to them. If you give somebody something, it obligates them to you. But salvation is a free gift from God. God owes us nothing, and he won't have us thinking we earned any of our salvation. Therefore, the chapter closes out with Gehazi, Elisha's servant, going and collecting some gold from Naaman, but because it undermined the very thing that God was trying to teach Naaman, Gehazi receives the leprosy so that he can learn the lesson. And that was one hard way to learn it. But healed Naaman was. At the end of the chapter, he humbles himself and is saved. We call that the down way up. And in verse 15, we read the beautiful proclamation, Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God, stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. So please accept a gift from your servant. So Naaman just receives. Well, how about you? Have you just received from Jesus? Naaman wasn't allowed to give back. You know what? You will give back to him to a certain degree, but only after you fully realize that even if you didn't, he's given salvation to you with no strings attached. If he gave you something to do or an errand to run, it wouldn't be salvation after all. It wouldn't be real. He had to do it all or none of it at all. Your salvation was an all or nothing affair for Jesus, and he did it all. If you insist on doing your part to earn it, trust me, you would have never had it. Read through the Word today and praise God for His gift.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.